Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. It's good to have you tuned into the program. The nation of Israel has a long history. From the early books of the Old Testament, we learn of their redemption from oppression in Egypt and their subsequent journey over many years to the Promised Land. Over recent weeks, Dr. Corbett has been looking at the Old Testament book of Judges and the influence of the Judges on the often wayward nation of Israel. Tonight we meet the well-known character Samson. Is he all that we imagine? Let's find out as Dr. Corbett continues his look at Judges.
I remind you that the book of Judges, in many ways, is a sad book. It's a book that ideally, and I mean that ideally, shouldn't have been written. It's the kind of book where it should have had a different story. The story should have been one where the people of God responded to God. This is the third generation of Hebrews, third generation of Israelites. And the first generation had come out of Egypt, but Egypt hadn't come out of them. The second generation were born in a wilderness, and they were kind of not quite disgusted at the way their parents could not see what was plainly obvious, and that was that God is who he says he is. And the third generation, it says tragically in Judges chapter 2, that generation arose and didn't know the Lord. Neither did they know his works. And that's a tragedy for any society when a generation arises that doesn't know God. When a generation arises and the previous generation hasn't made God known, hasn't passed on to them the knowledge of God. And so we come through the various judges where God would raise them up and they would be used. In the sense, God has used these people, and that's a statement in itself, that God uses people, God works through people. And I think when we factor in, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 that says something like this, that God's manifold grace is administered through one another. Just ponder that for a minute. God has chosen to work through one another. He's chosen to work through each of us to minister to us. That's amazing. God uses people. And we've seen that Jesus Christ said that, come to me and you'll be yoked with me. And I know there's this whole thing of people saying God hasn't made human doings, he's made human beings, and that it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. I know that, but can I tell you now, God's not lazy, and you're not created in the image of a lazy God. And sometimes we want to sanctify our laziness. And I'm not suggesting that we need to be hyperactive, but I'm suggesting that when you come to Christ, he will use you. And there is this sense that we don't really need to do a gift survey analysis for God to be able to use us. Sorry, God, I haven't filled out the last question. Do you mind? He'll use you in ways that he's prepared you for. And we've seen that. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. So it's the kind of work that the very reason we wouldn't want to work is because we want to rest. But the very thing Jesus offers is rest as you work with him. It's an amazing thing that as we work with Christ, we're resting in Christ. So now we come to the last judge. The last judge in the sense of a deliverer judge. The last judge was actually Samuel, but Samuel was a judge in the sense of judiciary. Samson was the last judge in the sense of deliverer. Samson was the last judge. Let's read from Judges chapter 13, because this is probably where I'm going to anchor the whole examination of Samson's life, and we'll just glean from some of the other stories. Most time when Hollywood takes this man's life, they focus on one scene, and that is Samson and Delilah. And some of the, when I punched that into Google, some of the pictures I got, I can't show you because it's Hollywood's imagination. And it's just bizarre to see that they've got this, you know, muscle-bound guy with kind of that... Who's that guy that's always on the front cover of women's romance magazines? Fabio. Who said that? Fabio. Kind of got Samson looking like Fabio. But yet Samson was not a Fabio. And that's actually the mystery of this thing. And I really want you to kind of see something here that perhaps you may have kind of seen before, but let's reinforce it today. People looked at Samson and said, I don't get it. They looked at Samson and they said, I don't get it. I don't get why he's so strong. I don't get it. Well, let's have a look at some of the history leading up to him and see if we can figure out some of this as well. Verse 1, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Let's just pause there just for a moment. There's a whole month's worth of sermons just on that, because let's see what we can learn about God right here in this verse. I have heard people say, very well-meaning people who really want to make God a wuss, say that when you do the wrong thing, God can't do anything for you. You have positioned yourself outside of his will, and not even God can do anything for you. That is just baloney. That is absolute baloney. When you do the wrong thing, God disciplines you. People look at me like, that's what God, verse 1, this is what it says. And God gave them into the hand of the Philistines. God did it. Please, whatever concept you've got of God, please make sure it's this one. Please make sure it's not a Santa Claus concept you've got of God. God always does nice things, is the concept that comes from having a Santa Claus theology. He's not Santa Claus. I have discovered through much pain that God is not always nice, but he's always good. Why did he hand them over to the Philistines? So that they could be delivered. There was an ultimately good purpose in this. Sometimes we think good things come from God and bad things come from the devil. You know the devil can do good things? Do you know that? Some of you are going, can he? The devil can do good things. The Bible even says he can disguise himself as an angel of light. He can do good things. He can do good, but they may not be ultimately good. In fact, they never are. Let's really understand that God is absolutely serious about us being fully surrendered to him. And when a people or a person has made a commitment to be fully devoted to him, he takes that very, very seriously. Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord handed them over to the Philistines. For 40 years, verse 2, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. I thought about that, and it goes on and says, and she had no children. I find that quite profound as well, generally when you're barren, anyway. So I'm thinking, how do you know if a woman is barren? Without all the medical diagnosis and stuff, I guess it comes from they've been married a long time and they haven't had children, and they've done everything you're supposed to do to have children and no children have come, I guess. So what happens at the end of 20 years of being married and not having children? I think you lose hope. You lose hope. Here's this woman and this man after... How long does it take to diagnose that you're barren when you haven't got a doctor to tell you that? You just figure it out. Probably a while. 20 years. This is what really gets me about this. Barren for a long time, and yet there was probably still something in his heart or her heart that said, oh God, I know I asked you yesterday. And I know I asked the day before that. I know I asked every day last year and the previous 15 years before that. And the first 5 years, I never... But, oh God, I'm asking again for a child. Maybe that was going on. That seems to be how it is biblically. Whenever you read of barrenness, that seems to be the biblical pattern, that people cried out for a child. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children. But, oh, I said to you right at the start of this series on the book of Judges, I would like to really get across to you that God is the God of buts. And that we need to understand that it's sometimes the buts that define the turning points in our life. So I was going to ask you, what does your but look like? But I wouldn't, because it wouldn't translate well. But we all have moments when it looks hopeless and God steps in and the story is going, it's going hopelessly negative and it's going to get worse. But then God, dot, dot, dot. We need good butts, don't we? Thank you. Come on, don't get religious on me. But, it says, you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, verse 4, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Just ponder that for a moment. Let's just take that and hold that up for a minute. A couple of things. This guy talking to the woman... is called the angel of the Lord. Not an angel of the Lord, not even an angel. This is the angel of the Lord. And I'm going to come back to this in just a moment because I think it's no small point. Secondly, does God control the future? Well, let's ask a different question. Does God control everything? I think we have to say yes. How hard is it to tell a woman who is barren she's going to have a child? I would say pretty hard. On the scale of easy to hard, we're up here in miracle territory. Then how hard is it to say to a woman, oh, and by the way, when he is born, this is what he will be like. And this is what he will do. And it's almost as if the angel of the Lord said to her, your son will be a warrior from birth, and he will deliver the nation of Israel from its current oppressors. Now, what would you think? You would think, perhaps, that this child will grow up to look like Fabio. But he didn't. In fact, to make matters worse, the angel of the Lord said, make sure he never cuts his hair. Now, what do you think of a little boy that you see who's got long hair? You ever seen one? It doesn't look kind of like that belongs. It does look strange. It almost looks weak, effeminate, almost. I'm not trying to be silly here, and I'm certainly not, this is not a sermon on long hair. It kind of like reminds me of the kid, the son who went to his dad and said, Dad, can I borrow the car? And the dad said, sure, if you get a haircut. And the kid said back to his dad, but Jesus had long hair. And the dad said, yeah, and he walked everywhere too. So, let's go on. Verse 6, and the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, you shall conceive and bear a son, so drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born. Verse 9, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. Oh, that's wonderful. That's just great. And the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life and what is his mission? The English Standard Version renders it. Boy, this guy had faith. Amazing. Verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said, verse 17, to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? I've got that highlighted in orange, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Verse 19, so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it to the rock, offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching, and when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. Then the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. Verse 23. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him at Menahed Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. All right. That lays the foundation for Samson's life. And perhaps you know some of the story from this point on, where Samson goes and marries a Philistine girl, not because he was particularly interested in the girl, but because he knew that it would lead to him being able to legitimately take vengeance on the Philistines. After that, there's a number of occasions when the Philistines attack the people, and the people, strangely, curiously, turn on their deliverer, Samson, and say, if it wasn't for the fact that you keep rescuing us, we wouldn't need to be rescued. Which is kind of weird logic, but he said, well, okay, hand me over to the Philistines then, but make sure you don't do me any harm, let them do whatever they want. And so Samson then uses that as an opportunity to kill some 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, and then eventually it leads to, much later on, toward the end of his life, he gets entangled with a woman by the name of Delilah, and eventually he completely breaches his birth covenant with God, and the Spirit of God departs from him, and they pluck his eyes out, and he is in a bad place. And we'll come to the conclusion of his life in just a moment. So here's Samson. Firstly, I want you to notice something. This kid was born with destiny. He was born with destiny. He was born with a special purpose so that when he was born, his parents knew he's special. I think some people are born with that. I think some people are born with this sense that my life counts for something. I guess there are people that are born and are just happy to kind of go with the flow. But I think there's really a sense that when you become a Christian, something in here causes you to look back on all of the past events of your life and realize they weren't just coincidence. They didn't just haphazardly happen. There actually was a guiding, albeit invisible, hand throughout my past that has brought me to this point. Samson, though, he was born with that. He was born with it. Secondly, he was not only born with a sense of destiny, he was born dedicated to the Lord. This is unusual, especially in the Old Covenant. This is very unusual to be dedicated as a Nazarite from birth. A Nazarite, God had these provisions in the law that said if anybody really, really wants the taste of my goodness and come totally, be totally dedicated to me, there's one thing they can do, and it's called a Nazarite vow. And you read about it in Numbers chapter 6. And in Numbers chapter 6, God says, you want to serve me wholly? Okay, here's basically what you've got to do. Have an outward sign that this is what you're doing. So that's the long hair deal. So that anybody could look at somebody with, like particularly a man with really long hair, and go, Nazarite. It's just a giveaway. It's a Nazarite. But then the Nazarite was, there's a couple of things that they had to live by. Firstly, they had to stay away from dead things. Secondly, apart from the fact they couldn't cut their hair, secondly, they couldn't drink wine or strong drink. And biblically, strong drink was like beer and up. And they couldn't drink that because God didn't want their senses at all altered in being fully committed to him. And that was kind of the Nazarite vow, where somebody could then just live wholeheartedly for God and his glory. He was born that way. Pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that he actually kept it for as long as he did. Because most kids who are told this is what you've got to do usually end up doing the opposite. But Samson didn't, because it says in verse 25 that the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. And this is what I guess I initially want to see about his life. While he was born dedicated, and we'll come back in a moment, not only was he born with destiny, not only was he born dedicated, but he was born at the announcement of, here's the word for today, you probably never will use this word for the rest of your year, but you can use it today, you're allowed, this is called Theophany Day. He was born with a theophany. His birth was announced with a theophany. A theophany is an appearance of God. Theo, God. Phani is a revelation, an appearance. He was born with an appearance of God. The angel of the Lord is somebody who occasionally appears in the Old Testament. You read about this, the angel of the Lord, this character. You read that this angel of the Lord is referred to as God. It was the angel of the Lord that spoke to Moses from the burning bush. It was the angel of the Lord that appeared in various other places at very specific times. And most theologians will tell you this is a pre-incarnate. That means before Christ was incarnate, which means became flesh. Before he became flesh, he appeared. We don't know kind of what or how, but he appeared. And he appeared at these various times, and this was one of them. And Moses says that it was the angel of the Lord that appeared as a flame and a cloud by day and a flame by night. And it was the angel of the Lord that appeared. And so here we have the angel of the Lord who curiously has exactly the same name as Jesus. Wonderful. My name is Wonderful. That's what Jesus is called. Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called Wonderful. And I find this really interesting, because here's what appears to be Jesus appearing thousands of years before he is born of a Virgin Mary, appearing to another woman, And I want to draw some parallels between what Samson should have been and who Jesus is in just a moment. But he was announced with a theophany, and this is no small thing. He was from a very early age stirred by the Spirit of God. I believe children can be stirred by the Spirit of God. I believe the Spirit of God can stir children with thoughts, with ideas, with burdens, with prayers. Samson was stirred by the Spirit. I want to be stirred by the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to stir me. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. But that wasn't all. Samson was empowered by the Spirit. And this is where we come back to Mr. Fabio, because Samson did not look like Mr. Fabio. He would have looked kind of like a weak, skinny runt. Let me find an example. Haven't got any here. Grovel, grovel. But there was this just total intrigue as to why this guy was strong. Here's the answer. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is really, 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 really important that he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to remember that this is Old Covenant. But here's the other thing. He was abandoned by the Holy Spirit when he broke his vow with God. But then we read in the latter part of the story of his life in Judges chapter 16 and verse 28 that he was redeemed by the Spirit. When the Spirit came upon him one last time, Judges 16, 28, he was redeemed. We could really look at some of the detailed aspects of Samson's life, and I guess I want to just make a couple of points about Samson. Firstly, this is extraordinary. No other man was used like this. No other man could take a lion and tear it apart. You know, when he was just maybe 19 years of age, long hair, sort of skinny, wasn't ever allowed to go to a party, kind of a bit of a social outcast because there might be grapes or wine there, and he had to stay right away from that. And here in Judges 14, he's walking down a road and a lion comes out to attack him. And it's immediately said that the Spirit of God had just been stirring him. And I don't know who was more surprised, Samson or the lion. But next thing, Samson holding one part of the lion's jaw in one hand, another part of the lion's jaw in the other hand. I think the lion was surprised, as well as dead. And at that point, Samson realized, wow, that's unusual. He'd never done that before. There's no record of him ever tearing lions apart before. Wow. It's interesting that God got him to work on lions before Philistines. And so he realized how God could use him. I don't think there's no record of him ever doing that again, so it wasn't like the gift of lion mouth ripping. So God used him in an unusual way. But then he came back later on and the beginning of compromise set in. What if you were used by God wonderfully and powerfully? What would you think? I'm special. I'm the favoured of God. See, he came back a few days later and he noticed that a nest of bees had kind of done their hive in the lion and produced honey in the lion. Remember what I told you about a Nazirite? Can't cut hair, can't drink alcohol, and has to stay away from dead things. Here's a dead lion, honey. What did he do? Went up, quite innocently, went up to the dead lion, scooped some honey out and goes, oh, that's sweet. And that became the riddle that he told the Philistines later on in that chapter. What you may miss is that that was the beginning of compromise. See, from that compromise, we end up in the bedroom of a prostitute, a big compromise. This man, as anointed and as special as he was, started to make little compromises, and the little compromises ended up costing him his eyes. He lost his vision. And that's what happens to the church. That's what happens to Christians when you make little compromises, little arguments with your wife don't get settled, little compromises. It sets in. You know, the checkout chick gives you a dollar too much. Think, it's Woolworths. They can afford it. The bank cancels your mortgage by accident. Little compromises. And it led to Samson's downfall. So let's go through Samson's life in closing and see what we can draw out for our own life. Again, each of these are special stories, but they're kind of sad and they're a real lesson for us today. Samson, here's an acrostic. Please be impressed. Samson was firstly special. Samson was, though, even though he's special, he was average. And I think there's a point here for each of us. Samson was also given a mission from birth. A mission. The moment you became a Christian, not only did God give you a ministry, but he gave you a mission. And both are important. Both are important. Samson was spirit empowered. Now, you'll read how the Spirit rushed upon him. Judges 14 verse 6, Judges 15 verse 14. The Spirit rushed upon him. You know, New Covenant, the Spirit doesn't rush upon you. The Spirit abides with you. Samson was overconfident, which led to arrogance. Overconfident. This is all about me. It's not, actually. And Samson was a Nazarite, one who had made a commitment to be fully committed to the Lord, but yet he compromised. He compromised on a couple of accounts. Samson really was meant to be a deliverer like Christ. And as we kind of bring this to a close, let me just share just an interesting insight about the life of Samson that parallels the life of Christ. In spite of the failures in Samson's life, he does point us forward, says one writer, to the great deliverer. God would deliver his people ultimately through one man. There was another man whose miraculous birth was foretold by an angel. There was another man anointed by the Spirit who took on the enemies of God. There was another man betrayed by his own people and given over to pagan oppressors because his countrymen were so at ease with their foreign culture. There was another man whose close companion betrayed him with a kiss for silver. There was another man who was arrested, not blinded, but blindfolded and made sport of. There was another man who was humiliated by his enemies. There was another man who looked forsaken by God and defeated by his enemies. There was another man whose death crushed the head of his enemies. This man did not suffer for his own sins as Samson did, but the sins of the world. This man's name is Jesus of Nazareth. He gained a greater victory in his death than he did in his life, just like Samson. In his death, Jesus' prayer was the same as Samson's. Remember me. God heard that prayer, pulled his son out of death, crushing the enemies and freeing his oppressed people from the bondage to sin. Samson's deliverance pales in comparison to the ultimate deliverance God has provided through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great deliverer. Samson was meant to be a deliverer. Samson was meant to live out his mission and fulfill it, not end up going into compromise, not abusing the gift of God, not going into realms where he knew he couldn't handle. And I finish with this thought. There's lessons, there's sad lessons to be learnt here. So let's make this a prayer. God, as much as you bless us, help us not to waste that blessing. Help us not to become complacent. Help us not to become compromised by that blessing. But help us, Lord, to recognise our life is meant to be a mission and our lives are meant to be wholly dedicated to you. Let's pray. Father, I just ask, Lord, that we will be a people who don't take you or your power or your blessing or your provision for granted. We just don't, as it says in the text, where Samson sinned and then he arose as before and assumed God would be with him as he was before and discovered to his horror that God was not. So, Lord, I pray that we will not be a people that assume that you must bless us. But, Lord, we will thank you for that blessing when it comes. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to be wholly dedicated to you. Now, if you're here and perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never been delivered from the power of sin, you've never been saved, you've never come to know Jesus, I invite you right now to do that, to surrender to him. You are just one prayer away from meeting the God who loves you more than anyone else in the universe. One prayer that says, God, show yourself to me. God, come into my life. God, forgive me for what I've done. One prayer away. So, Father, I pray that people who are one prayer away will make that one prayer theirs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Judge of Israel, perhaps not how you pictured him, but where God needed him. Dr. Corbett continues next week in the book of Judges. If you'd like to listen again to the program, you can purchase a CD copy for $5.50, including postage and handling. Just quote the program title, Judges 4. Finding Truth Matters is produced by Lagana Media, and you can contact us at P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Finding Truth Matters resources, including podcasts, are also available from the website www.findingtruthmatters.org. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly e-newsletter Perspectives, visit findingtruthmatters.org and click subscribe. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We hope you can join us again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.